When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're here with Doug Myers, who's the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here. Happy New Year.
Same to you. I want to begin with sort of your predictions, if you will, about private banking for 2020. Are there any trends that people are going to be focusing in on?
Well, I think there's continued trends of using technology in our business to enhance customer relationships and enhance investment portfolios and to offer, our clients the continued product set that we want to give them in terms of different types of loans and different types of services that we offer. And I think technology will continue to play into that.
Mm-hmm. 2019, how would you rank it as a year for wealth management? Were your clients pretty happy?
Our clients were very happy. I think 2019 was one of our record years. The stock market was at an all-time high. Returns were very strong. The returns have been stronger than they have been in probably 10 years since the recession. Our portfolios have continued to grow, and our clients have been very happy with the growth. And everybody can look at their 401ks and their balances, and it continues to grow. And I think there's a lot of positive indicators right now in the market.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the questions people ask all the time: how long can this continue? 2020, for sure, right? I mean, we don't see any headwinds coming.
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues that could be trade winds, and you never really know. I mean, it looks like the tariff situation is getting settled, and the economic climate is certainly ripe for a good year. But, you know, this year is a election year, and the politics certainly play into that. So, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, but at the same time, the fundamentals are strong. The companies are doing very well. The market rates continue to be fairly low in terms of interest rates, which helps investments and things like that. So I think the indicators are very positive right now.
There is one wealth manager, the world's largest wealth manager, by the way, UBS, Global Wealth Management, their chief investment officer, had this warning to investors, though, to lower their expectations for this year, not only here in the United States, but globally as well.
And I think that's a conservative posture, and I think you don't want people to get too, sort of speak, frothy about the market. But, you know, if you look at the indicators that we had for 2019, for example, large cap stocks returned 31%, and that's opposed to minus 4% in 2018. And so I think, once again, the indicators are strong. If you look at the small cap market was 26% return in 2019 versus a minus 2% in 2018. So I think we hopefully can continue the trend for 2020 that we saw in 2019. The fundamentals are still there. The interest rates obviously play a big part of that. We thought we would increase interest rates last year three times. In fact, the interest rates declined three times last year. So that really squeezed margins in banking, which made it a hard year for banks, but a good year for the investment returns.
How much should we be paying attention to the election in the U.S. is impacting investments this year?
Well, I think elections always impact investments. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, somebody's obviously going to win. And if it's a re-election of President Trump, I think we can expect kind of the same things that we've seen for the past two or three years. I think if the Democrats were to win in November, I think that would change things. And you know, it's hard to say for the worse or for the better, but certainly it will be different.
There are some, speaking of headwinds, in Europe, private banking wealth management companies have been cutting jobs there. Is this something that is a contraction that might spread overseas to the United States? Are there any discussions in your industry here locally about that?
You know, I don't think so, Steve. And the reason is, you know, wealth management continues to be one of the growing sectors within banking. You know, you have corporate banking, you have real estate banking, you have business banking, but wealth management in financial institutions continues to grow. I think the articles you're referring to and some of the layoffs, and you've seen the shrinkage in some of the big banks in their wealth management groups, I think that's just corporate restructuring. I think it's partly due to the interest rate environment in Europe. I think with the negative interest rates, it certainly puts pressure on the banks. And I think banks go through cycles of restructuring. And I think what you read is just normal corporate restructuring in some of those big European banks. And I don't think we've really seen that in the States. I don't think we really anticipate that being a part of wealth management in the with our big banks and smaller banks and community banks, for that matter. I think we're still growing our wealth management business.
There's another cool story that I wanted to get your thoughts on, and it involves snowbirds. We've all heard of these folks. You may be a snowbird, and I don't even know it. The people
I wish. I'm not.
I'm not, but I want to be, right?
Right.
These people who live, like, for instance, in Chicago in the summertime and then go somewhere warm in the wintertime. What kind of challenge do those kinds of clients present to you in terms of wealth management?
Well, there's certainly a lot of things you have to consider if you choose to be a snowbird. And we have a lot of clients who are, especially in Florida. That's a popular place for the Chicagoans to summer or to winter, excuse me. You have to look at the different states' tax situations. Chicago has high real estate taxes. We have a state income tax, where, for example, Florida does not have a state income tax. And so there's a lot of tax ramifications in looking at, do you want to spend the winters in Florida, for example, or do you want to move your residency or your domicile to Florida? And that certainly has tax implications. It has estate and financial planning implications for how you structure your estates. The estate tax situation is different, for example, in Florida than in Illinois. So I think in looking at that, there's a lot of things to decide in terms just from a financial planning standpoint, but as well as a lifestyle standpoint.
Yeah, it seems like the cash flow would be a major issue.
It is, and a lot of the snowbirds will stay in their houses for the winter, but rent it out in the summer, for example. And there's issues with that in terms of, you know, can you get rental income? You're still paying taxes. You have other expenses to keep up the house if you're not there, but you're getting rental income. So I think with the new platforms such as Airbnb and VRBO, I think it certainly allows you to be able to be a landlord or a rentor, in your home. But I think you have to go through the careful analysis of what makes sense for you.
Yeah, it also feels like insurance might be another big issue. We've seen numerous reports of insurance companies raising rates in Florida and in other coastal places that because of the hurricanes.
Well, that's exactly right. And then the insurance rates are different if you're a landlord versus a tenant or an owner in your place. So that certainly plays into the cash flow aspect as well.
Doug, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
They can call me directly at 312-544-4600, and we'll look forward to having some financial planning discussions.
All right, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Steve.